Believe it or not, it's midsummer and it's U.S. Open week. Might think there's been a political convention at the country club in Brookline up to this point, but in the grill room with Bob and Jay, we're going to be all about our national championship. I am Bob Bupka, proud to be alongside Jay Randolph Jr. And Jay, quite frankly, there's never been a run-up to the U.S. Open like this week.
No, there isn't. You see it in the news conferences. You see it in some of the players' disappointment and continuing to have to talk about this, even if they haven't made a jump or this and that. And everybody wants a soundbite about the quote-unquote battle that has ensued between two tours. But, you know, that's coming to an end, and they got to put the peg in the ground on Thursday at the National Open. And a lot of talk this week, Bob, has been about legacy. And there are four times a year that you can really define a legacy in this game, and this is one of those weeks. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a unique golf course. They don't go to this on a regular basis. Obviously, the Ryder Cup was held there. I don't want to use the term tricky golf course, but it can fool you, and it can get mean.
You know, Jay, you're such a lover of this sport. You not only broadcast about it, you played it at a very high level collegiately, and there's a special place in your heart for golf, going back to the wonderful career even your dad had playing this sport. How special is Brookline, I keep wanting to call it Brookline, but that's not accurate. It's called the Country Club. How special is the Country Club to Jay Randolph Jr.?
Well, I mean, when you look at the history of the venue and what a guy named Francis we met did with the Eddie Lowry on his bag, who became a legendary car dealer in the Monterey Peninsula, and, you know, Curtis Strange winning there. And as I mentioned, having that incredible Ryder Cup there. You know, those are things you heard a lot of the guys this week, and especially Rahm, talk about. You know, John Rahm said point blank, I could retire tomorrow, guys. And he could, and live extremely comfortably and sit by a pool and sip, you know, sangria. But what drives him is trophies. It's not money. And legacy, and adding to his legacy after winning it last year, and I think when you step back from the situation going on, as you and I and our executive producer Janice knows, and people that love this game, one of the facets is the history of it, and there seems to be a little disruption right now, but it's going to be very interesting to see what the major championships decide to do. You know, we've gotten a little indication from the PGA of America. I think the Royal Ancient doesn't want to touch it yet, and neither did the USGA. But, you know, this is a week of legacy, the 122nd playing of the United States Open.
Well, John Rahm, to me, clearly established what it takes to have it made. When you're able to say, look, another $400 million is not going to affect my life one single bit. I mean, good golly, you're on top of that mountain, my man. But he's always been...
That's a whole lot of daily doubles, Bob.
That's for sure. And, you know, he's always been motivated by Seve. And, boy, if you didn't get motivated by Seve, you couldn't get motivated by anybody. Let's quickly run down a little bit about the weather forecast, Jay. Thursday, looks like there may be a chance of some thunderstorms in the morning. Pretty nice day Friday. Okay, Saturday, storms at night, but that's not going to affect anything. Maybe slow the greens down. Sunday, 60% chance of rain. But I think the key aspect there, using my Al Roker brain, only 20% chance of thunderstorms and rain, certainly not going to stop a golf championship.
It will not, but it will alter the conditions. a little bit. So that'll be something to watch very closely. Good to see that only at 20% thunderstorms. Hopefully they won't have to pull anybody off the golf course, hopefully all day, the first all rounds. A few new wrinkles and viewing options for the fans. Like all major championships now, they're giving you unprecedented level of access from live streams of championship play to in-depth performance. They've got a probability tracker. They've obviously gotten into the fantasy aspect. Don't want to miss out your chance there to win prizes, even though it is free to play. So the USGA following suit like the other majors. And Bob, I mean, this is not the best field in golf because it is an open championship. And my friend Chris Nagel from St. Louis qualified, who's kind of been an on and off Corn Ferry Tour guy. He qualified for this U.S. Open. So that's a unique thing that I'm going to get to watch, a guy from my hometown getting to play. But they're all coming. I mean, you got Rory, you got Justin, you got Spieth, you got Scheffler, you got Schauffele. Anybody that is anybody, and even some guys that aren't anybody, like Bryson DeChambeau looking for his second U.S. Open, Brooks looking for his third U.S. Open, Keegan Bradley with the ties there, Morikawa trying to get a third leg of the Grand Slam, and the champ's going to walk away with $3.15 million, and this, one of the big stories of the week is Phil Mickelson is playing and, of course, still looking for his opportunity to close out the Grand Slam with the U.S. Open.
Yeah, six times a runner-up in the U.S. Open for Phil Mickelson. Incredible record. One nice story that warmed my heart a little bit, Matt Fitzpatrick. He won the U.S. Amateur at the Country Club in 2013, stayed with a lovely family. Well, that family reached out and said, hey, Matt, you're coming back for the U.S. Open. Our house is your house if you want it. It's right down the road from the Country Club. Probably a pretty good-sized house because Matt said, yeah, he took him out, up on it, and his caddy's staying there and his brother's staying there. I'm saying, boy, man, maybe he meant hotel, not house. But most houses in and around the Country Club are more like the size of a hotel than a house. I'll guarantee you that.
Yes, that is true. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that we see in this game. I mean, you know, the connection there to winning the AM and playing, you know, been playing well leading up to here, no major, maybe it's his time. Well, certainly speaking of time, Rory, who's been knocking on the door, kind of kicked it in on Sunday as he successfully defended his RBC Canadian Open Championship, two years later, because of the COVID situation, especially up there. Man shoots 62 in the final round. As Brandel Chamblee said, it might have been the best ball striking round he'd ever seen. He did miss a couple of short ones, but boy, he played well. And let's hear from Rory.
I feel like it's getting tougher and tougher to win on the PGA Tour. You know, even just look at the two guys that I played with today. You know, I went out with a lead and had to shoot 8 under par to get the job done. So, you know, going up against guys like JT and Tony and coming out on top, that's something to feel really good about. Super happy to get that 21st win. And then just to, honestly, just to play in a final group like that with that atmosphere all day. I mean, the fans here this week have just been absolutely unbelievable. Boisterous, loud, but respectful. It was really, really cool. It was really cool to be a part of. It gives you a lot of confidence just to see where your game stacks up against the best. To go up against guys that are not just the best players in the world, but best players in the world playing somewhat near their best, and coming out on top, that it can only give you confidence.
Unbelievable finish, Jay, for Rory McIlroy. Fell a little bit behind, but then birdied the 71st hole. Birdies the 72nd hole to successfully defend his Canadian Open title. He comes to the Country Club at the top of his game. Hard to believe it's been since 2014 that he's won a major. I mean, it seems like Rory McIlroy is winning majors every time we turned around there for a while. What about Justin Thomas? he's certainly somebody that we're going to have to keep an eye on at the country club. His game's pretty sharp.
Here's the scary thing, going back to, you know, connections and things like that. Justin Thomas had not played the week before a championship since he won at Quail Hollow. He played the week before Quail Hollow when he won. He comes back, he plays the week before the PGA Championship. Plays really well, doesn't putt that great, but hit the ball phenomenal, but finished like fifth, was still kind of in contention in the final round. You look back to last week, very similar situation in Canada to what he did, what he had at the Nelson. So, I mean, you know, it's hard not to make them almost 1 and 1A, Rory and JT. You saw Finau play fantastic last week. First time that you know, we're starting to see a little more consistency out of Tony. I mean, I'm not sure, Bob, who your pick is. It's hard for me to get off Rory or JT, but it's also a lot to ask. I think a guy that might play well this week, he played well last week, is Justin Rose. Tail end of his career, I don't know how long the golf course is, but there's a guy that could have shot 58, should have shot 59, made bogey on the last hole to shoot 60. So, you know, my stalwarts are Rory and JT, but my long shot would be Rose.
Well, Jay, you certainly have a couple of solid selections there. I don't think mine will surprise you too much. Well, one may not. I think that Scotty Scheffler is going to get it rolling again. I'm just so impressed with the way he's been playing most of this year. I see him hoisting a U.S. Open trophy. And then the other one, because of the Irish connection up in Boston, and what a concentration of Irish families there, I'm going to go with Shane Lowry. He knows how to win in front of Irish people. He certainly did that at Port Rush when he won the Open Championship. So we'll have to wait and see. Other items in the news this week: British Amateur being played at Royal St. George's, one of my favorite golf courses. 585 entries, 43 countries. That's an increase of 32%. Boy, the British Amateur getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Elsewhere, boy, what about the DP World Tour, Jay?
Well, when I heard it scared me a little bit, because now I'm going, could she have played from the same tees? But a gal won on the European Tour, the 2022 Volvo Car Scandinavian Mixed. And by saying mixed, both members of the LPGA, but playing on the LET Tour, are eligible to play, as well as DP World members. The men and women play the same golf course at the same time for the same purse. And the same title, but the tees are different. It's really set up, Bob, to make it the value on the second shot, where they're kind of both in similar situations, both players, men and women. The previous largest check this young lady had won, Lynn Grant, the 22-year-old, was $10,000. This win was worth $310,000. And more publicity than she can imagine. I'm sure Henrik Stenson finished tied for second. Annika teed it up. She finished about the top 20.
Highest purse, 10,000, now 310. Probably left 10,000 for the locker room guy.
Yeah, it's like she took a week to go to the LIV tour.
And I'll tell you one thing, good news, great news. Coming out of the USGA, they announced that they'll be starting a national training program, much like many European nations already have. Jay, I think this is a wonderful announcement, USGA getting behind, trying to create more excitement for youngsters, to get more people playing the game, both boys and girls and athletes from other sports taking up golf. I think it's a great idea.
you saw it with tennis and some of the things that they did down at the Baliteri camps and things like that, and the USTA got involved. And I think this has been coming for a while. You wondered maybe who would steer it, and now hearing the USGA is going to do it, and they're throwing $40 million at the project. It'll be very interesting to see, because this will kind of shake up some things in the junior world. You're starting to actually see some of the juniors move to the amateur level a little quicker than before. We've got an AJGA. This is on Sunday, Bob. We have an AJGA qualifier at Sullivan Golf Course, and we have 78 kids trying to qualify for three spots on both sides, girls and boys. Now, you know, back when I was lucky enough to be playing as a junior, you'd just send your entry to get in a tournament, and you'd get in most. I mean, there were certain that you had to meet, you know, some playing success. It's unbelievable, the growth of the junior game, and, let's hope the USGA, you got to believe that the USGA will do it right.
Well, I never had the luxury of playing as a junior. I consider it very fortunate that I ever once was a junior. We'll be back next week to wrap up our national championship. So many possible winners. It's going to be fun to watch. So for Jay Randolph Jr., Bob Bupka saying, come back next week. You got a spot in the grow room.